Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate. I'm here with my co-host, Amanda. Today, we are talking about a recent podcast episode that came out from Aubrey Marcus. It's a hot topic at the moment and how it is shining a spotlight on the spiritual community, relationships, leadership, and power dynamics. We want to talk about some of the things that we have observed through not only watching the podcast, but the comments section. Now, this is probably something that Amanda and I wouldn't normally be part of this kind of conversation, but what's been really powerful and interesting, I think, through witnessing this is how people are responding to what was shared in this particular episode. We're going to break down some of that for you, dive into it, unpack it, because it's a topic that is really bringing up a lot of questions, but also tapping into something quite deep within people. So let's get straight into that today. Amanda. Interesting response to this particular podcast episode. And for those who may not have seen it, it is titled, do you know?
And it is titled, A New Pattern of Sacred Relationship Emerges by Alana Beale and Dr. Mark Gaffney. And the thumbnail has radical commitment, total freedom as words that they are leading with there.
And so what they dive into here is an explanation of how they have come to structure their relationship by having a third person become part of their marriage, part of their relationship unit. And then we have some suggestion here that this is a potential new way for us to be in relationship with each other. So as you may, you know, guess initially, this kind of concept is, yes, controversial. And it's also known as polyamory, having more than one partner. And to start, I think we want to say there is absolutely no judgment here on anyone's choices. We all come to this life to learn things and learn through the experiences that we have, the choices that we make. And so out the gate, this isn't a commentary on whether this type of relationship is good or bad. Everybody has their own paths and there are different ways that we can do things. But what we want to really dive into is just some of the key elements that kind of stand out quite a lot through some of the conversation that was had in this podcast, but also some of the reaction that has been provoked. And I really want to stress the comment section, because this hasn't been like the usual comment section where people kind of come and say what you're doing is wrong, it's evil, you should be ashamed of yourself, things like that. It has really provoked a much deeper, really, I want to say sometimes profound comments where people have looked quite deeply into themselves as a reflection of what they've seen in this particular podcast. So Amanda, where would you like to begin with our conversation about this particular topic and what's been brought up through what they have shared about their new relationship dynamic?
Yeah, well, let's talk about Aubrey Marcus to begin with. So, and, you know, these people are the example that are being used to look at these concepts and phenomenons that we're seeing happen. But in doing so, no one's, you know, these people are on their journeys, they're figuring things out. And so they are examples. So, but Aubrey Marcus is the example here. He is an entrepreneur. He is in the spiritual community. He has a program called Fit for Service that is all about making people more spiritually and physically fit to serve their missions in life. And so I think people have looked up to him as someone to guide them in their own spiritual journeys. And so he comes to the table as someone that's a bit of a leader. He has a podcast for many years. He's had successful businesses. He's created wealth for himself. So he's living this life that a lot of people look to as something they desire for themselves, potentially. You know, he's physically fit and, you know, attractive, and he attracts physically fit and attractive women. So he has a history of polyamory. And if you know about him, you might know that he has shared quite extensively about his experience in a 5-year relationship. So this is not his first go at having multiple partners. And he has, you know, he shared with that partner, a previous partner. And so I feel like he has given, you know, from the comments I've read, he's actually prompted people to try polyamory. And so people are taking cues from the information that he shares. Mm-hmm. And so I think part of where people are having issues are that, you know, he was in this polyamorous relationship. That relationship ended, and he stated in once he was going to get married to Vailana that he was no longer practicing polyamory, and he found the one that he was going to be with. And so, and then he and Vailana sold courses on divine union, sacred or divine union. And so people were looking to them as leaders in how to have sacred partnership. And then now it seems like people, like, you know, you sold one thing that you were polyamorous, but you're no longer, you're now in this sacred union. And now we learn that for 2 years, while you've been selling this course, you've actually brought another human being into your relationship. So that's one aspect of it, I would say, that people are troubled with, because they were looking to him and her as role models of how to have a partnership with just one other person, not more, multiple. So maybe let's pause there. We can discuss that, and then we can move on to some other of the other aspects that were people have shared as being problematic, specifically, you know, their read on Vailana and not really being resonant with the message.
Yeah. And I think what we're sort of starting here with is, you know, the world that we're in with social media, it has become an influencer culture. We have, you know, we see it in the spiritual community. There are certain, there's a group of people, they all seem to know each other. And
kind of incestuous.
Yeah, sometimes I really don't like the vibes that come off of it. Yeah. And there's a lot of people that I respect within the particular group that there is, but there's also some seemingly icky, shady-ish stuff. That's my opinion. It's also my read and my feel, and it's also my discernment to, you know, how much I engage and how much I don't. But I think that it's important to understand that, you know, as someone who does have a large following, their ability to literally influence, and that there is some responsibility on what you share and how that impacts people. For the most part, people within the spiritual community are part of that because we are doing the work. We've had experiences that have been awakenings. And so we travel down a path to learn more, to become better versions of ourselves, to face the things that are our shadow parts, to heal. Ultimately, many ways that is so that we are better in relationship, better with our friends, because really life is relationship, be it a loving partnership with, you know, a husband or a wife or a girlfriend, boyfriend. Girlfriend, whatever it is, or, you know, the other human beings in our life. Like, relationship is central to everything we do. And so I think first and foremost, the challenge, as you mentioned, is that we've had someone advocate for something and then turn that on its head. And so it's, again, some of the comments in some of the, some to some of this is that his influence prior to deciding that monogamy was his path with his current wife was that he had influenced other men to have their wives try this. And one particular woman said that she was specifically shown podcast episodes. He had talked about this by her husband. She'd agreed to do these things. And then ultimately it was a destructive force within their relationship. And so, you know, the power people hold to influence people's lives. But the thing that really struck me is, you know, in this position that he has, you know, and I think there's a responsibility to it, is why do we need to share this? Where does it come from when somebody has an experience like this, which is, yes, controversial. It goes outside of societal norms and it challenges the way that we think. And, you know, it brings up a lot for people. But what is the point in sharing this? Like, if we're in a role of leadership and, yes, he says he wants to be honest and it's an integrity, but really, why? What value does this offer for people? The thing that kind of was a challenge for me was the opening line of, this is not prescriptive. We're not trying to tell you how to live your life. However, we're going to go into great detail about how this works. We have a gentleman here who's written a book about it, which you can buy. And, you know, we're going to tell the story anyway. So then we have the title of the actual episode, The New Way for Relationships and This Evolution. And so first little bit there for me is just like, okay, well, let's call a spade. Let's call it what it is. And there's also within this particular episode, this phrase of radical monogamy, which they are now calling a third person in your relationship. It's a way to radically be monogamous by bringing in a goddess to add to the goddess was the word.
The idea being is that we're gonna be a constellation is the other term they've used, mm-hmm. right? The constellation mm-hmm. is our relationship. We're gonna be monogamous with each other, and because we're within this constellation, we're monogamous, not because all three of us are in relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, big terms thrown around here. And yet as an influencer, which he is, and a leader, quote unquote, in this field, I don't know. For me, there's a big responsibility piece that comes up because it is feeding an idea into the collective, which I think we can get into a little bit more about, you know, union relationship and that container itself. But first and foremost, it's sort of the thing that's kicked up dust here is this role he plays and responsibility. And then the second piece to that is then how that is using sort of the spiritual world, the spiritual path, to kind of frame a choice, and then how language is also used to paint a picture. For me, I'm just going to say it straight up. Like, let's call it what it is. Let's call it polygamy because that's what it is. It's not monogamy. And in a personal level, it's insulting to hear it called radical monogamy because in my opinion, in my life and my relationship, to me, radical monogamy is the radical commitment that I have to my husband to create the kind of container that we both flourish and where we show up for our individual work to grow together to have the best quality relationship we can have. So for me, on a personal level, it just feels like, especially around this way that this conversation was framed by these influential people in our, you know, spiritual community, it was insulting in some ways to have it called that because it kind of made a mockery of my commitment to, you know, monogamy itself. So there's this edge here of playing with language that, I don't know, it's disruptive in some way. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I'm still trying to like process what I've watched and it's just for me doesn't sit right. So what would you like to add to that?
It's like, take this thing. So let's just dive into the doctor. Dr. Mark Gaffney, he is the rabbi that is a spiritual teacher essentially. And from what I found, like, this seems to be the framework that he sees as the future of relationships. When it seems that from his perspective, I haven't read his book, so I can't really speak to everything that he believes, but from what I've watched of him, being with just one person is not sustainable. And so rather than going through life, slugging through the monotony of being with one person, bring in another person. So then you can stay within that relationship. Is, I might be oversimplifying the message, but that's basically what I took away from it, is that the answer to lack of excitement or fulfillment or eros, E-R-O-S in your relationship is to bring in other partners to then make staying within your partnership more tolerable, more exciting, more. So it seems that this doctor has this framework. It seems that Aubrey aligns with this framework. And it seems like they, what I took is like they want to introduce this as a new way forward, as like, here is the answer to our relationship problems. And it feels almost like Mark Gaffney is using Aubrey and Vailana, which is the wife, Alana, who is the third person, as almost like test subjects for his theory, as for his framework. And let's use them to showcase this model to the world, to then get people to start thinking that, you know, you can be a monogamous and have multiple partners. Like, and I think they use the justification of like, well, because people have cheated throughout history, have strayed from their partners, that let's just get it on board. Let's allow our partners to be okay with it. And so there's no deception within the relationship. And so it feels almost like, let's call it the thing that's mostly acceptable by societal standards, which, you know, I'm not always against things that aren't acceptable by societal standards. But I think what the reactions demonstrated that, you know, it's this is something that it's almost like, yes, if you want to do, you want to have more people within your relationship, okay, but don't go calling it something that it's not. Don't be distorting what we know, what, you know, trying to disguise it in a way to like sneak it into the consciousness and make it somehow seem more palatable to people so people will try this on. And, you know, there are some, you know, maybe more conspiratorial theories that this might be a way of impacting the family unit, the relational unit, that a lot of people, most people on an instinctual level know is what feels true. That's not to say that people, I've never been in a polyamorous relationship, so I can't speak to that. And I'm sure there are circumstances and reasons why and arrangements that might be necessary or works for people. But what I think a lot of people were sensing, and I think what we are sensing, is that they're trying to mainstream this as the future. And because of Aubrey's role as this influencer, as this person that is on the cutting edge of psychedelics, and that it's like, in a way, feels like almost he's being used to push this thought form on people and to make it more acceptable. And like, and well, so what happens if people just start trying this, right? Like, what are the consequences of that? Because they saw an influencer doing it, who maybe, you know, like, do it, if the outcome is people, relationships dissolving as a result of trying this, people aren't prepared to know like how to do this in a safer way. Like, that's potentially, I mean, families could be broken up, and you know, you could say that, well, if they're susceptible to this, maybe they should have broken up. But it's at the same time, it's like, why, relationships can be hard enough as it is without having to, it's like, oh, let's try bringing drugs into the relationship and see. Yeah, let's stress the relationship out that way and see if, like, you know, you'll be stronger as a result of these drugs coming into the dynamic. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
It's like having problems here. Try this and see, you know. And so, in a way, it's I really don't like when people are like, oh, this like the influencer is being harmful, because I do think people have the right to make their own choices. And, you know, ultimately, I think that's what people are learning through this process, right? Because if we give someone too much of our power and we are let down by when they are not careful with their influence, like that's a lesson for us in not giving away too much power, not putting someone on a pedestal, still not making them our guru. So that's a lesson that comes of this. So, you know, that's maybe a flip side of the negative of this, but it's also, you know, people learning to trust their own discernment and be like, hey, this is not a, like, I gave this guy too much power. And if they go down that path and it affects their life in a harmful way.
Yeah. And I think the thing that sort of was something that came up for me is in the watching and the reading of the comments and people's reaction is that in some ways, and you spoke to it too, with like the family dynamic, and I don't have the eloquence to speak what it is that I've come to learn over my own spiritual journey of like the value in the two people coming together in union, and how it's kind of like, you know, we have such a dysfunctional society and the family is falling apart. You know, it's getting harder and harder for people to, you know, I watched something on YouTube the other day and it was a woman shot her own children. And it was like, you know, there's so many people suffering and struggling, right? And relationships are struggling. Children are being brought into families where it's dysfunctional and the family unit is falling apart. That's the fabric of society, our relationships, you know? And so I think this is why it's stirring so much. It's our relationships are so important. And unfortunately, with all this dysfunction that we see, like, relationships are hard, and you said that it takes work. And so in some ways, I think what's it's sort of scratching at here is it feels like a, you know, maybe a band-aid for the challenge. Now, that said, in this podcast, they speak to the loving relationship that they have that's full and rich. And so bringing in a third person added to this fullness and richness, although there was a lot of death experienced by the wife to open fully to this experience. But really, in some ways, and through my own experience of marriage and wanting to be in a committed partnership and having that be the best thing it can be, is I've always seen it as, or my experience has been that, you know, it's a container, right? A relationship between two people, even a friendship, it's between one and another. And I don't care if you want a third person, no problem. It's not a judgment. But when we have an energetic container between two people, you know, I see it as a circle. And in my own experiences, when there are like holes in that container, like holes in a bucket, our energy leaks. And so the strength and the bond of that container doesn't have the opportunity for it to fully be what it can be. And so in my own relationships, I've had to choose that how I want to fortify that container. And, you know, the thought of, or the, you know, presence of the third person to me, from my experience in a container like that, there's such a lack of integrity to that container because there's a third human in that. Now, where am I going with this? The idea here that this is a seed being planted of, here's a solution to, you know, the holes in the bucket you might have in your bond with your loving partner. But it is in another way, like, yes, it brings up our stuff, because already in partnership, it brings up our stuff. We have to work on ourselves. Relationships are work. The other person has to work on that. That in turn fuels the growth of the relationship. When we throw in a third person or bring in something extra like that, for me, it is fostering separation. It is fostering, you know, this disintegration of the work and the commitment to building that divine union, or that really powerful thing that relationships do when we make that kind of commitment. So I think the world has a challenge, or at least the younger generation already are challenged with committing to a job or committing to a relationship. And it is sort of feeding narrative of, well, here's, if you're having a challenge in your relationship, rather than doing the hard work of looking at your role and your responsibility, your stuff, just add in someone to the mix, because, you know, when shit gets hard, it gets hard, and no one really wants to go through the hard stuff. So it's like, you know, that's the part that I feel is another piece that's coming up, is how there's a separation piece here and a dissolving and a tearing apart of the fabric of relationships that, you know, while they might say they're consciously, or they say they are consciously choosing this particular dynamic, there's a scene within that podcast where the wife, Vailana, speaks to a moral dilemma she had to face of her own in watching it, coming face to face with an internal value of monogamy and the desire for it, and the sacrifice of having to let that part of her die in order to accommodate this request from a husband, someone she does love and has an incredible relationship with, but now wants to change the commitment that he made. So, yeah, there's such a tearing apart here. Suggestion, yeah, underlying it, there is a tearing apart. It's a bit of a ramble, but yeah.
Yeah, let's dive into her. I mean, so a lot of what people had a problem with, and I'll say that a lot of people preface their comments with the fact that they are fine with how people want to have relationships, but their comment was out of concern for what they saw in the dynamic on the episode. So what was said and what wasn't said, and also how the energy of specifically Vailana, the wife. So she cried, you know, as she was speaking multiple times about this experience. As you mentioned, she talked about the deaths, how she died. I don't want to misspeak in terms of what she exactly said, but she spoke to many, many deaths that she has been through during this process, and to come to be accepting their constellation, their relationship dynamic. And so I think that in a way this demonstrates what, you know, maybe there are relationships with three people in them where everyone's needs are being met and everyone is fine with the arrangement. And I think that in those instances, I don't have enough experience to know whether those exist. And so I think if people saw that in this, I don't think as many people would have spoken up, but there were just inconsistencies, and was perceived, I think, by a lot of people that it was him that wanted this. It was her that had to bend, contort, and sacrifice in order to come to be okay with this. And, you know, many people said, like, the light in her eyes has been diminished, her overall energy. And, you know, that those are the response to be like, okay, these people are projecting you know, and there could be some of that too. You know, this is not like such a black and white situation, but I think that there were enough incongruent statements within the, you know, when people talk for 2+ hours, if there are incongruencies, they're likely to come out, and they can be subtle, but the cracks can show. Something that I picked up on towards the end was him talking about how I don't remember the exact wording, but it was like his configuration of who he is and the configuration of this dynamic relationship that he's found himself in. He can be happy in this dynamic until the day he dies. But to me, it's like, it's almost like he's saying that to convince Vailana that just give me this and I will be content. I won't want another person. Like, it's this container that I'm happy with. And, but just however many years ago when he got married, he was saying he was ready for just one person and that one person being her. And so how trustworthy is his word in what he has to say? And so, you know, I commented on that and his response was, that was a fair critique. And I will give him credit for his response to people. I'd say overall, he was very measured and I think probably taking what people had to say to heart, I hope, which I don't think I could take that much criticism, even done in loving ways. Like, I don't know if I could handle that much criticism and respond as he did. So I will give him that. But it feels like very likely to her, it was probably a betrayal to, because part of her, not as I understand it, part of her choosing to be in a relationship was the promise that he was done with polyamory. And so how, you know, his whole thing is about like, I'm about truth. I'm about honesty. I'm about integrity. And so do the actions of how this relationship came to be, does that align with the things that he's saying? Like, he is very good with words. He's a poet. He is an influencer, right? Like, he knows how to impact people with his words. And I think what a lot of people were picking up on is that it's very possible that he has used his words to get the situation that he desires. You know, maybe he is just a man who wants to have multiple women and okay, but also don't use spirituality to try to dress this up in moral, like, message from God. God wants me to have these partners. God wants, you know, and for those listening, he also shared that he received a message from ISIS that he is to have babies with both of these women. And so, yeah, it's the words and the actions, do they align? And, you know, we're not there to know exactly all that has transpired. We only have a window into, you know, this episode. And, you know, obviously there's this backlog of things he said and aspects of his life that he's shared over time. But I think that there's enough people, I don't think the people there commenting and noticing these things are haters or people that are trolls that are wanting to be mean, essentially. It's like people watch, they're people who will watch a 2-hour conversation of his, and they did, and they were impacted by it.
Yeah. And I think that one of the things here that is important to bring in is this use of the spiritual language for, you know, choices that you're making. And when I look at it, you know, what I observed is statements like, I am a psychonaut, which I assume is someone who explores psychedelics. Is that what that is?
Yes.
And then this is this other catchphrase that the Dr. Gaffney brings in is that he said, I'm an erotic mystic. These kinds of statements come from ego. I am this, I am that. There was a lot of talk too about how the third woman brings in more love, right? My love for you is deepened. This is to the wife, my love for you. You know, there's all this love. A spiritual path is about love, but there is a distinction between spiritual love and human love. And when I say human love, I'm going to even go to what's saying egoic love. And then we have in there as well this use of the spiritual language to sort of woven through the conversation, woven through the choices, that really the choices come from. This is, again, my opinion. Welcome to comments and thoughts on this, but they're ego-driven. They're desire-driven. They're, you know, this is what I want and this is what I want to experience. It's very much based in pleasure. And, you know, when it's an external seeking of love, it's coming from our humanness. It's coming from our sense of worth. It's coming for wanting to feel that recognition and love back from another person, right? So the human love has conditions. And a condition of this container here is that here's what I want. And for the wife, the condition is that even though this isn't something that you want, you say it openly, for us to continue our union, you would have to accept that. So condition, human love. And so the challenge here is that this love is paraded as spiritual love, and that it is also divinely guided, and it involves their connection with God. Now, I don't discount that they have a connection to God and that in some ways that this may not contribute to their spiritual path. However, when we talk about love from the spiritual perspective, that is, as you will, you know, hear if you watch anyone who has had a near-death experience speak about, when we return to the source that we are, that consciousness that we die, we return to that source of love, because who we are inherently in that divine connection with God is a knowing of love. That is an internal inner state of knowingness. It is derived from the inside. It is derived purely from the knowingness of who we are and that connection to God. It does not require an outside source to be felt. It is your connection to God. It's the knowing of who you are. And so that to me felt very hard to chew on, incongruent as well, because the spiritual love that we talk about is, it's internal. It's the essence of who we are. It's the knowingness of who we are. It's unconditional, you know, and that is the sort of contrast that we have here is they're talking about love and truth and authenticity as a spiritual pursuit, yet it is very egoic in nature, and it is they're not the two in the same thing. Whether there's a spiritual element to that, I'm not in that framework. I'm not to say yes or no, but I had a hard time with that because it was, you know, painted as this is a spiritual pursuit, bringing me closer to God. I'm living my Dharma, you know, and I think from a spiritual perspective, we do, as souls, come here to have experiences and learn through those lessons. And not all of them are going to be great. We're going to make some shit choices that teach us deeply spiritual lessons. And maybe, you know, I'm not to say this is a bad choice, but there was a lot of pain that was shown through Vailana, the wife, to come to this place where she's feeling, as she says, a deep sense of love for a man. It's a human love and freedom. And, you know, so she says this is her experience. But, you know, I think we as spiritual seekers or those on the awakening path, like, again, there's coming back to this discernment of, like, we have to remember what the two paths are and not then use the spiritual path to justify choices or things that we're doing that might actually be harming other people truly and honestly, as much as they might come to say, oh, I choose this. But there was a denial, a clear denial of a part of who she was that had to die to accept and accommodate this new position that she says she's enjoying. There's one other thing I wanted to say to that, but I can't remember what it was.
Go ahead. I think that they are adults and they get to choose. They do get to choose. And, but I think what people were sensing and what people were speaking to is that, yes, you might be, they might be believing that this is the right path for them, but people aren't buying it and people don't have to buy it. Right. And yes, of course they get to choose what they do. They can choose it and they can also have been manipulated to choose it. Right.
Yeah.
Manipulation can happen very subtly. And I mean, ultimately we allow ourselves, like, we ultimately get to choose, like, how we are manipulated. And we, so, you know, they, she's choosing this. And so she's not a victim, right? Like, and so respecting her in that ability to choose where she is. But at the same time, people are seeing the dynamics. People are that, you know, a lot of people are seeing these dynamics because they've lived these dynamics. They've had these, they've been in the situation where they were influenced or manipulated into a choice that was not their choice. They denied what felt true to them. Mm-hmm. They abandoned themselves for another person. Mm-hmm. And in the end, they saw what that did. What was the outcome of abandoning themselves? And so in a way, I think people are speaking because it's like, hey, I've been there. It's like, I don't think people were speaking with malice or judgment. Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, I've been there. I know what it's like. And so I can see it. And it's hard to see it when you're in it, right? When you know, you can both love a person and you can also succumb to in unequal power dynamics. Yeah. And also when that person brings a spiritual teacher in the mix to, you know, what I saw happening in this conversation was Mark Gaffney has this framework, aligns with Aubrey and his desires. And so when, you know, Vailana brings her challenges to the table and it's like, yep, that's part of the process. It's part of your trauma. It's part of the edge that you need to go through, the death that needs to happen to get to the other side. And so it's almost like she was coached to accept this in a way. And I think that in the end, you know, we won't go into this person's background. People are welcome to go Google who this person is. And, you know, people can make judgments for themselves as far as if they believe this spiritual teacher is a person of integrity or not. They can also go listen to the podcast and decide what their read of him is. But I think what a lot of people were sensing is that Vailana believes she is where she is by her choice, but there was sacrifice, as they spoke to a lot in this conversation, that happened, sacrifice of herself to get to this place of acceptance. And, you know, I don't mind if I'm wrong in this assessment. Like, if, you know, I don't know how this is going to play out. But it's almost like it feels like they think that they're immune to how this situation oftentimes plays out for people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they've been there and you know, maybe this will be the new way. Maybe this will be the time that it works out. And They will say, hey, we're 20 years in and we each have children and it's working great. And, you know, but that's not. And so let's dive into why this was so refreshing to see people's comments. You know, for me, it was refreshing because people were trusting themselves, trusting their own reads, and they weren't coming. You know, we've talked to this already, but they were not trying to attack him. Might have felt like an attack.
Yeah.
But they were really like, this is what I see happening. And and it's so almost it's like people are not just buying the new thing that's trying to be peddled to them. And people are sticking up for what seems like people believe to be a sacred thing, which is a relation like monogamy, a sacred relationship. And people were willing to defend it in a respectful manner.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was the biggest thing that kind of really got my attention out of all this really was, you know, there was some really lovingly written, thoughtful, considered responses. And again, it's normally trolls, right? You don't read the comment section, usually just maybe potentially for some entertainment or just like, oh, wow, that's crazy. But this was, it was deep. It was deeply touching people's truth, their integrity, their sovereignty, their values. And I think you brought forward a really important point that so many people felt like they saw something they'd been through, and you've got to go through it to know it, right? You can't name it unless you've experienced it, right? You can see the signs. And as you said, when you're in it, you don't know it. And the people who have commented to say, I went through that, didn't know it until it was after the fact. Like we learn these things. And so it was powerful to see people lovingly state, you know, please do what you like. But, you know, these reads, these very loving, tender, emotional, heartfelt reads on, you know, I mean, as you said before too, it was a 2.5 hour conversation. And I do believe these people do value honesty. And so the thing is, there was a lot of honesty spoken. But what wasn't potentially realized in the moment as it was spoken was what it was really, really revealing. Because when we speak from our truth, we're speaking from truth. And the truth was revealed in many ways, although it was then turned around to be justified by the framework that has been provided to understand the experience you're having so that you can adjust to this new situation, especially we're talking here about Vailana. And, you know, the challenge being that her stop point was never seemed to have been validated. It was simply coached through to move through it, to get to stage three of, they call it pre-tragedy, tragedy, post-tragedy. And along the way, helping her to form a new belief of how things are. And this is something we have to understand as our own human nature is we're constantly forming new beliefs. And that comes from the things that we consume, the things that we learn, the people we put in a place of authority, how we allow ourselves to be influenced. And so I think really largely here, if anyone wants to watch it, it's just a lesson for all of us about where we place our power in others, be that a spiritual leader, partners even. It is also an opportunity to remember what our values are, and that we don't have to compromise those for love or relationship. And I say that knowing what it's like to stand on the edge of a decision of like a marriage and, you know, the potential loss of it, that is an extremely scary edge to stand on, you know, and you don't make that decision lightly. And so I also, from someone who's, you know, come close to that through my own experiences, you know, pre-awakening, I was a mess and, you know, thought that that was an answer to my problems, maybe to end it, and to then ask for permission to just like, I need to take a time out, but I don't know how long it's going to be, but I want to try and do that for to salvage it. But it put into question many things. So I had to face the reality of what I was asking. But fortunately for me, it led to an awakening that helped me, you know, change things that I needed to change to come back into relationship. And, you know, I see in this woman as well, like, well, she was faced with that choice too, but there was nothing inherently wrong in the relationship. She loved him. So, you know, to then shift and change and form this new belief and like, okay, I have to go against a moral value of monogamy and what I want. Her words were, I had to say goodbye to what I wanted and then say, realize, well, you get what you need. And that to me was a red flag statement and a deep wound of, I didn't get what I wanted, so I had to die and see that this is actually what I need. And I feel that's a traumatic way of responding to that. Yes, yes, we get what we need. We do. We get what we need to learn. But I just felt really challenged by that statement because there was so much pain behind it.
So I think something valuable that's coming through this is really having greater discernment in terms of using spirituality to rationalize how we're living our lives. And yeah. I think we've saw that quite a bit with, you know, spirit told me to get on the dating app. Spirit told mm-hmm. me that we're going to have babies. And, you know, I think that we can rationalize things and maybe to them that felt true, but it's like sometimes when we say that, if we're not, we do need to discern with when we're receiving messages, right?
Yeah.
We're not a servant of the messages. We need to run it through our own filter, and we have to judge, is this right? And just because we received a message does not mean that, I mean, for a lot of people, that did not feel right to tell your wife that Spirit told you to have babies with another woman. And I think that a lot of people reacted to that because something innately does not feel right when the person that you're with, the man that you're with, tells you that they want to have, I mean, because ultimately he was saying he wanted to do that, right? And almost using Spirit as, well, Spirit said so. You know, if you didn't want to do it, you have the ultimate say here.
Not a command.
You don't have to do that. Yeah. And so it's almost chicken shit way of doing it. Like, you know, I'm just doing what Spirit told me to do. And, you know, that's like, if we look at the religious leaders who have had multiple wives, it's like, God told me I'm supposed to have this many wives. And so it's like using a so-called connection to rationalize and justify like our desires. And I think that people are, you know, I think we all probably could see places in our lives, maybe where we do this too, you know? And so it's like, this is all for us to learn. And like, where are we not taking responsibility for our choices and saying, well, Spirit told me to do this, so I'm going to follow Spirit. I'm not going to use my own thinking abilities and skills. I'm going to just follow what Spirit tells me. And that's, I think we all look a little bit kooky when we do that.
And to say to that, Manda, like, even for me, and as I mentioned just before about, you know, this challenging time in my own life, pre my awakening, my mind told me things that I was like, yes, that's right. And they were destructive things that I then verbalized, that after I said them, I realized the damage that I'd done and regretted it. And, you know, fortunately was able to see where that came from. It was ego. It was a very strong ego. And at the time, I didn't know that was a bad thing. It felt very true to me. Felt true in the assessment of my life. That was felt like a loving thing to do or to say, to express. So, you know, I think there's a little bit there of, yeah, I mean, there's one thing to receive a message, but you run it through your own filter. You know, it is not the Bible, it is not gospel, it is not, this is the way you are supposed to walk your life. Therefore, say that to the wife. Tell it to the other person and now go forth and complete that task, right? To me, this is how cults start. I had this message and now I'm going to live it and enact it and create it. Now, in some ways, it unfortunately makes a mockery of those that do receive intuitive guidance. And, you know, in some ways, it's a slippery slope to say, to justify some certain actions of like, oh, God told me to do this, you know, and I mean, God tells some people to kill people. Is that God's word? You know, it's not a great example of, yeah, I mean, I think you watch it for yourself and make your own opinions about it, but we have discernment.
I found it telling they did not put the camera on her when he shared about that.
Yeah.
Because it would be really interesting to see her body language when he spoke that, because that would be a real tell.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it would be very interesting to hear a psychologist watch the entire program and to give us more depth and insight into, you know, what they observe in the human interactions. And, you know, that aside, other humans have been able to see what they saw, recognize it in their own patterns and, okay, bring it forth as something for them to consider. And so, yeah, it's been a really interesting couple of days where this seems to have consumed any bit of content that I've seen. And it's been a very large discussion in the spiritual space. And I think there's some really beautiful perspectives that are being brought forth, things for us to consider. And there's always two sides to this. There is a side that supports their choices. And this conversation today also is supportive of any choice you make, they make. We're not trying to say that something is right or wrong. We're really just trying to highlight discernment, where we give our power, how we might be in our minds or, you know, working with spiritual practices or language to justify things that might be really egoic in nature. And again, it's just another piece of the awakening journey and our discernment and our work. It is an ongoing process. And I think one other thing I want to say too is, you know, part of what I saw through this conversation is people who in the spiritual space constantly seeking out these experiences, lots and lots of plant medicine. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but you have your journey with that. And I think a lot of people who've done a lot have gone to a point where it's like, okay, maybe it's time to stop because there's an altered reality. It's not the reality. It gives us access to greater information and insight. And I think it's valuable. But there's also this constant seeking of the highest path was thrown around as well. And there's this more, more, more. More is egoic drive as well. Soul does not crave, desire more. So in a truly aligned path isn't about an accumulation of external or experience. It's, you know, the soul, really aligned soul, you're just happy with nothing. Sit in the grass and like enjoy the sunshine. Like that's the enough. There's an enoughness to life. So again, is this a spiritual path? Is this an egoic path? So again, it's also this pursuit in the spiritual world of this constant, yes, growth, pushing my edge, but what about enjoying your life and integrating and sitting in the shit? And now that's not to say they didn't go through some hard things. And so there was some challenge within that, but life isn't just about the peak and the peak and the high and the high and the high and the high. You know, that's an ego drive to constantly be having this, you know, wicked life, you know, like, yes, we all want to be happy and, you know, experience certain things, but I think it's a checkpoint. You know, where is this coming from?
Yeah. I mean, to get where he's gotten from a like entrepreneurial perspective, there is an ego drive to it, right? There is a more aspect to it, you know.
And that's not wrong. That's not wrong.
No.
No.
No. But it's also like saying what it is too, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, is there a part of him that's like, hey, I have these two beautiful women, you know, that want to be with me. Like, where is that? I'm guessing that's part of the equation. Like, he's not so spiritually evolved that he's immune to these very human traps.
Yeah. And while there's a lot of practice in plant medicine, because he speaks a lot about that, you know, we go into that obviously to learn and to heal and to integrate. It doesn't necessarily mean that that has fully happened. Just because someone takes part in a lot of those processes or practices doesn't mean that they're actually fully healed or have come to a more evolved place to make these other choices, and that it should be a model, I think, is really important to, you know, we are walking our own paths, we're doing our own work, but don't necessarily just let that be a model and think that this is the way. And I know what is really going on within that psyche and that mind and that particular spiritual path and that journey.
Right.
Because
You know, with enough, one becomes susceptible to also dark entities when we open ourselves up too much. So, you know, I think this has been a really interesting, as you said, a few days of exploration of this topic. And I imagine this is not going to be the end of the information we have about the situation. I imagine, I think it's really cool that so many people have shared their perspective. And I'm interested to see like how that influences their situation, if it does, like what, because to me, it feels like that, you know, they were in their little bubble, you know, the people around them might be, like, oh, you know, good on you for what you're doing. Their spiritual teacher is like, yes, this is great. Da, da, da. And then they took it to like the outside world and it's like, what are you guys doing? Like, you know, here's some stuff that you're not seeing. And
yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, hopefully they've taken some of it in and they're going to sit with it and we'll find out like if they yeah. go in harder or if like what is the outcome. It could be 5 years down the road where it's yeah. like, oh hey, you know, this wasn't yeah. and who knows what if this is the new way. But
yeah,
it didn't feel that way, but you know, mm-hmm. I think time is going to be what was true here. And it's been fun and interesting observing like what's come up for me in this situation, what are the subtle nuances of this situation that's not so black and white. And yeah. I think it's been overall it's serving people to witness this and mm-hmm. to speak what they've felt in the process. And so I think in the end it's like a good thing that's been revealed and it teaches us, right? It allows yeah. us to see aspects of us. So I appreciate this conversation and, you know, the information for us to learn more about what's true for us in the process.
Yeah.
So
yeah, 100% agree. It is a mirror for all of us because it reflects back to us things within us. And you see that in the comments that people left and something for us all to consider about ourselves and our values and, you know, our paths as we do awaken more and we see more and more things. So we'd love your comments, thoughts, feedback. Please leave them. Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks, Kate. Thank you, episode.
Yeah. Thank you everyone for listening. See you then. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.